Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. I'm going to step back into a series of programs that I was doing around the theme of transformation. I know we're sitting in a special set of days between the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother, on which we honored and celebrated in the church on the 15th of August, and the Coronation of Mary on the 22nd, which we celebrate the Queenship of Our Blessed Mother. And so that's tomorrow. And in these beautiful days, it's been a great chance for me to reflect more on the theme of taking a Marian approach to living life. And what do I mean by that? I'll dive into that, but that's going to end up leading me back to the scriptures, and I'll tell you how in just a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. My goal is to help you experience transformation through the practice of your life of faith. Let me say that again. Through what happens in the time that I have serving you by what I share in this program, my goal is to help you nurture, propose, nudge you along a path where you'll experience authentic and profound transformation in your life as a result of the way that you live your Catholic faith, the way that you live your relationship with the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what I want. So I'm going to pray, and then I know it's sounding a little serious or dramatic, but I'm circling back around to something that is it's on my mind and heart these days, in the days that I'm talking to you about, these days between the 15th and the 22nd of August. So first, let's pray, and then I'll pick up from there. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy God, we love you. In Jesus' name, we approach you, Father, and we honor you as God. We submit and surrender our lives to you as the living God. We repent with all of our hearts, our minds, our souls, every bit of energy within us. We repent. We cry out that we are sorry for every way that we fall short and settle for less in our relationship with you, that we betray you through our sins in our thoughts and the things that we think about, the way that we spend the use of our imagination, our intellect, our memories. Lord, the way that we fall short and dishonor you, we repent of our words. Lord, the way that we speak, the way that we use our mouths and the things that we talk about, the way that we talk to each other and the way that we address you and ignore you. And for all of those words, God, we cry out, mercy, please, Lord, just wash away, cleanse the vessel of our lips so that we would speak pleasing words to you and of our deeds, holy God. We cry out, have mercy for the things that we've done, for the sinful acts that we've committed with our hands, our feet, our eyes, our ears, the way that we've spent our time, our money, our gifts, our stewardship of all that we are and have, the preciousness of this one life that we have, oh Father. We cry out, have mercy, and for our omissions, mighty God. for the things that we have not left undone, the things that we have left undone that we ought to have done, the prayers that we didn't pray, the confessions that we didn't do, the good works that we left undone, the fasting, the penance, the reparation, the expiation, these approaches to life, holy God, that we have not followed you or honored you. Have mercy on us. Lord, we long for you, Father, to cleanse these vessels of our lives, to remove the obstacles, to clear the path, so that we would be more attentive, alert, expectant hearers of your word, receivers of your word, that we would be docile, completely docile to your spirit, available and ready to, at a moment's notice, that we would be liquid and how we are responsive to you, O God. And so we say yes to you again. We say yes to you, and we say that may today be for us a fresh start, a new beginning, a new encounter with you, O Lord our God, that you would live in us and live through us, Jesus, that we would be a continuation of you at work in this world. That's what we want, O God. Lord our God, that's what we want, that your holiness, your divinity, your divine life would manifest itself in a more profound way in our lives, that we would be holy, that we would grow in holiness, that we would grow in sanctity, that we would become the saints that you intend us to be, shining forth salt, light, and leaven in our world, that Jesus, people would see your face, hear your voice, sense your presence, experience your power. Whenever we show up, wherever we show up, however we show up, and that, Lord, we would fulfill the God-given mission that is ours. We are so tired of living small lives, living lives that are pursuing worldly goals, goals that are unworthy of you, unworthy of the life you've given us, the gifts you've given us, the blessings you've poured upon our lives. Holy God, we long for you to break in, to break open, to empty out, to fill us again to overflowing, to make us new. Transform our lives, Lord. Lord, give us the grace to shed any of this comfortable dissipation that is ours, any spiritually deflating ways that we're living our lives. And Lord, today we ask that you would do it through your word, that your word may be for us a word of life, that your word in scripture would be a holy word of God, taking root, making space, and being alive, Jesus, in us in a whole new way today. Bring, Lord, your word to birth in our lives. Grant us, O God, an attitude after the manner of the Blessed Mother, after the manner of you, O Mother Mary. We look to you and your Immaculate Heart. We look to you, O Mother Mary, and we say, be for us today a spiritual mother in these days. Be for us today a mother who nurtures in us an attitude of receptivity, an attitude of openness, that the word would be made flesh and dwell among us in our lives after the manner, in an analogous way, as the word became flesh in you, in your body. May the word of the living God be made flesh in our spirit and reverberate in all that we say, think, and do today. That's what we want, O Lord God. Make us saints, fulfilling the God-given mission, the mission that you have planted us here to fulfill. That's what we long to do, Lord, with the time that remains. That's what's at stake in our lives, O God. That before all else. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I just ask for special graces of provision, protection, and guidance on my family. I pray as the father of my household, I pray in solidarity with all other fathers, all other husbands, and all other parents for our children, for our spouses. I pray a blessing of protection, provision, and guidance for them. And I pray and I ask that the guardian angels of our families and ourselves and our spouses and our children would be fully engaged in fulfilling the call that is yours. Oh, guardian angels, be loosed, be active, be engaged, oh, guardian angels. Thank you, God. Thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of prayer. Lord, just stir it within us again. Stir it within us again, Lord. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so prayed a pretty intense prayer there. That prayer actually is quite, it evokes, it is in my heart connected to the scripture passage I'm going to talk about today, which is Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. I'm going to talk about that passage of scripture for a few reasons. The first I've already mentioned to you, it's these days, this octave, this set of 8 days between August 15th and August 22nd, between the Solemnity of the Assumption and the Feast of the Queenship of Mary. So beautiful days to honor our Blessed Mother, to honor our Mother Mary. And these are days where we can reflect on. Do you ponder and think about the Blessed Mother? Do you think about the fact that she was a 14 or 15-year-old young lady, maybe 16, right in that age? I've got a 14-year-old, a 15-year-old, I got a 13-year-old, a 15, one who just turned 15 yesterday, and a 16-year-old. And I'm imagining that they're the age of the Blessed Mother when the Holy Spirit came upon her. The Archangel Gabriel came to her and said, "You've been chosen. You've been prepared. You've been molded and shaped from your very conception, from all eternity, but in time, from your very conception to now, you've been created to be this vessel to receive the word of God, that the word would be made flesh in your life. And you give birth in this world to the word of God, to the Messiah." And her attitude is called a Marian attitude. You might have heard that phrase before, having a Marian attitude. That's an attitude, that's a way of relating to a situation after the manner of our Blessed Mother, so that we can imitate, we can act like, sort of like, that's called by analogy, right? So by analogy, so there's a way in which we can act like our Blessed Mother. We're not going to do it in exactly the same way, to the same degree, to the same extent, because she did it perfectly, completely, and it had a bodily manifestation. We won't have that. Ours is going to be incomplete. It'll be partial. It'll be imperfect, and it won't have a bodily manifestation, but it'll have a spiritual manifestation in our lives, and that is be open to receive God's word. Be open to receive God's word in your life. Have the Marian attitude, that Marian readiness that says, I am open to receive the messenger of the Lord, the Archangel Gabriel, but the messenger of the Lord to bring a message from the Lord. And that's his word. And I want you to think about that. Like, what makes one day different than another? What makes a day stand out, stand apart from a typical day? Now, a typical day in our lives, do we have a sensitivity, an alertness, an expectancy that the living God, who is infinite and eternal and perfect, this triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is beyond the world, with me in time and within my heart, that this living God sees me, knows me, has a care for me, attends to the details of my life, and is approaching me, maybe through the world he's created, maybe in the events of the day, the people that I meet, the things that are happening, or maybe within my heart, within the core of my being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is making an approach, is going to draw close, is going to communicate. There's going to be contact. There's going to be a contact with the living God in your life today. And that contact, that behold, I stand at the door and knock, that door and knock might be at the sunrise. It might be through a flower garden. It might be through a walk in the woods. It might be being at the lake. It might be, again, through the world that God, staring at the night sky. It's some part of the creation. The Father is going to be speaking to you, whispering, and you get a sense of the living Father who is transcendent and infinite and big. This immense, all-powerful God is gazing upon you and addresses you. Or as you're getting up and you're moving through the duties of your day, you're talking to people and all of these things, all of a sudden, boom, there's this sense that the living Lord Jesus, the good shepherd of you, is shepherding you through the events of your day. I will be with you always. He is there and he's with you and he's doing something to speak to you today. Or when you settle down and you're quiet, all of a sudden something stirs in you. It might be a memory. It might be an image. It might be a word. It might be something in the core of your heart. It might show up as a feeling, a sense, a spiritual sense might become alert and alive in you. And it's the living God. It's the Holy Spirit prompting, nudging. This, how's that for a day? How'd you like to have that be the mark of a typical day? Welcome to ordinary Christianity. That's ordinary Christianity, brothers and sisters. The living God having living contact, communication, and communion. This living God reaches out and knocks at the door. You recognize his approach. You open the door, he communicates to you, he comes in, he's going to communicate to you, and then you communicate back, and now you have this dialogue going on, this communication, which leads to communion, where you're just being with. And as you be with the Lord, and this is prayer, and you're with the Lord in prayer, you become sensitized, you become more aware of, conscious of the presence of God. You can sense the presence of the living God. It's not the world, but it's coming through the world. It's present in the world, with the world. That's the way Aquinas talks about it. It's the way Bonaventure talks about it. It goes back to Augustine, right? It's this idea that God, who created the world, is present through the world and with and in the world. And we can come to a sensitized capacity to relish and commune with the living God in this. Now, if we want, and then when you can do that in your prayer, right? This is not me. This is me not making stuff up. But this is our Catholic tradition, the practice of the presence of God, Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection. Very simple brother who said very profound things is, I'm going to paraphrase the catechism, you'll never pray always unless you pray sometimes. But conversely, if you pray sometimes, if you take time to pray and your focus is on the living God who is making contact, communicating with you and communing with you, then from there, you can move into your day. You can move from that time of prayer and you'll have a constant sense of the presence of God. God's presence will accompany you. You'll have that awareness that you are walking through the day and you're aware of the living God. Now, we're not going to get to the St. John of the Cross level, right? St. John of the Cross, where when he was towards the end of his life and he was walking through the monastery, you've heard me tell this story before, he'd have to hit the wall. He'd hit the wall to ground himself, to ground himself in the world because he would become aware of the presence of the Lord just walking down the hall or out in the out in the monastery garden, just walking, and he became so enraptured with the presence of God, he couldn't walk. He'd start being caught up in a rapture, in this a mystical ecstasy. So he'd have to hit the wall to like, okay, give me a physical sensation and a noise to ground me back in the world that is not so permeated by God's presence that I'm not going to make it to the refectory in time for dinner. Not going to make it to the chapel in time for prayer. That's someone who's praying always, always richly, profoundly aware of the presence of God. All right. Saints set the standard. We are living less than the standard, right? To canonize, the canon is the rule, right? The canon. The canon means the rule. It means it's the standard. So a canonized saint is living the standard life. We're living a substandard life, but we should strive to grow in accord with what the saints model for us. So in this octave, we're looking to follow the model of our Blessed Mother, to be open to receive the word that will come to our lives, and to allow that word to be a place of three things happening. Three things happening. And we're up against a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about those three things happening, and then I'm going to dive into the scriptures being the way that the Lord can have this happen in your life today. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's so good to be with you. Today, I'm sharing with you in the spirit of the Blessed Mother, right, in a Marian attitude, as a way of growing in our spiritual lives. I mentioned that there is this sort of flow of three dimensions, three aspects in this dynamic that is part of our life of faith. The first is the word encounter, right? I talked about contact, communication, and communion. That's in prayer. That's the encounter with the living God. And when you have that sense of encounter with the living God, you will experience a disruption. Life won't be the same. There'll be a gracious disruption of how you're actually living. And that gracious disruption can lead to transformation. As you know, if you've been following my program, my family, we moved to the Boise area just over a month ago. And we did so as part of our own discernment around the stage of life that we're at. And this is one of the things that you'll recognize that you'll come to in your own life, is that as you get through different stages in life, certain things come out into the open as being more important. And so Carrie and I are at that stage in our lives. I'm 60, she's 55. Married 31 years now, and it's like, wait a minute, the healthy years that we have remaining is a mystery. We don't know for sure. We don't know for sure how many more healthy years we have, but if we're not more attentive and take more action that's intentional and determined, we may not have that many healthy years remaining. And healthy years are years that also can be productive. Productive for, well, for what? Well, part of our discernment is I'm feeling a call to use the productive years that remain in a more direct and completely involved in mission and ministry work. And so I've spent the last 4 years doing a lot of work in real estate to help families move as a mission and ministry, and also as a way of providing for my family. And in the last year and a half, I've been bringing other faith-based agents into partnership with me so that they could take on work in accord with the same spirit that I can do and bring to the table, but they can take on more of that work. And so the people that I'm connecting to are still being well cared for from an agent who works on the basis of faith, but now it's going to allow me to spend more time doing mission and ministry work, which for me, I'm like, well, what would that work be? And returning to being open to give talks is certainly one of them. And I'm starting to do that more. Praise God. Love that. But then another one is write books. And when I think about writing books, it's like, well, what book is worth writing? And I want to write a book that's going to be worth reading. And if I'm going to write a book that's worth writing and worth reading, it might mean that it's going to accomplish something in a way that's distinct from what's already out there. And so for me, what I am feeling called to write are books that are sharing with a reader, sharing with you, if you're that person, the kind of stuff that I just shared in the early part of this program, stuff that I just don't hear a lot of other Catholic writers or speakers or radio programs, right? You don't, the stuff that's not just a repeat, not copy paste. Like, here's another book on apologetics, or here's another book on different types of prayer. No, I'm writing books that are about ways that my life have actually been changed. How has my life as a Catholic been transformed? Taken me from like just an ordinary level of, yeah, I'm kind of just there, to, no, wait a minute. No, this has elevated my life of faith. This changed me. And so I shared a number of short prayers that were given to me and I picked up over the course of the decades and have prayed with them for decades. And these aren't typical prayers that you're just going to find in a typical prayer book. And so that's going to be one of the books. And one of the books is on scriptures that have actually changed my life. And again, there's some wonderful scripture studies that are out there and Bibles that are out there with new commentaries on the scriptures. But my goal would be to share with you, here's a scripture that's changed my life, that's transformed my life. And I'm going to introduce you to that scripture. I might not provide the full breadth of here's the historical critical methods that are going to tell you the type of literature and language and where Paul wrote and what they were writing at that time, the author of the book was, and what does this word mean in Hebrew? But no, it'll be, here's the scripture. Let me share how this scripture can be for you a word of life, that if you're open to receive it, it can change you. It can be a place of encounter with the living God that can disrupt how you're living, and it can transform your life. That's what I feel called to do with the time that remains. And so that was kind of a pretty big windup, but also valuable because, again, it's something you can think about for your life. What will you do with the time that remains? How will you spend the time that remains? And it's like, how can I make a difference? How can I do something that matters? Well, everybody has in their hands the capacity to do something that matters to God. Things that matter to God. You may not become rich in the things of the world, but you can become rich in the things that matter to God. Remember that gospel from last Sunday or two Sundays ago? Right? Very few of us are going to get famous. Very few of us are going to get powerful. Very few of us are going to get wealthy. But we can all, every single one of us, get holy. And we can all be available to the Lord to fulfill the mission he's given to us. And I'm telling you, just letting those two points of focus for your life take on greater prominence. Transformation. It's going to disrupt a lot of stuff. It's going to disrupt a lot of comfortable living because it's going to introduce stuff into our lives that we don't necessarily pursue. And you know what? I say it like that, and someone challenged me on this recently. And it was, Tom, you're talking about the spiritual life as if it's only involving the cross. Like, hey, you're going to get brought into this spiritual poverty, into this holy desperation. You're going to be brought into redemptive suffering and taking on penance and taking on fasting and self-denial and all those things. And do that. Yeah, that's all. Okay, great, fine. But what about being open to letting the Lord love you more? What about being open to let the Lord lavish upon you his loving kindness, his goodness? How about letting him bless you so that you can actually enjoy the life that he has planted you here to give, to have? That, you know, okay, be sober and alert and engage in spiritual battles, but also allow the Lord to take you apart and to take you apart, not knock you down, strip you down, but to have you come apart and just love you. How about allow him to heal in you a sense of drivenness to perform out of fear that he won't love you? Ouch. Wait a minute. There are areas in my life where I'm being held back in growth and holiness that have less to do with me stepping up and embracing my cross and dying to self. And it might have more to do with allowing the Lord in and trusting him to heal places in my heart that are carrying wounds that are closing me off and driving me to act and to feel in ways that are not in accord with what the Father has for me. It's so fascinating. Carrie, we was sent by just these dear listeners some messages from God the Father to this beautiful, sweet Italian nun in about 100 years ago. And Carrie's like, you got to listen to this message. You got to read this message. I've been reading some of them. She's been like, just taking it in like every day, reading these messages and just saying, you know what? These really speak to me. They just speak to me so much because they are speaking to me about the way in which God the Father just desires to have his children be in a place where they let him love them. They let him love them. And how too many of the children of God look to him with a sense of fear and shame and distance, and that his almighty power is clouding out and crowding out the daddy, Abba quality of the Father who so longs to love his children. This is really powerful. And I could certainly benefit from that. And there are ways in which I'm going to grow in holiness if I let more of that happen. So, okay. So this brings me around to one of the books that I'm sharing about is this idea of scriptures that have changed my life. And I came up with 20 scriptures. You know, there's hundreds, but I named 20 just super fast that were like game-changing for me. And so today I'm going to start my dive into Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45. And I've got some neat stories about this particular passage as well. And so let me read you the passage first, and then we can go from there. All right, so here we go. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45. A leper approached Jesus and, kneeling down, begged him and said, "If you will to do so, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched the leper and said to him, "I do will it, be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, Jesus dismissed him at once. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. All right, there we go. You've heard the passage before, and you may have heard me share about this passage because it has had such a profound impact on my life. If you have ever heard me give my talk on confession, or a series of talks on confession, or if you have my book called Confession, 5 Sentences That Will Heal Your Life, this passage is really at the center. It's at the center of those 5 sentences. "I did it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'll make up for it. I'll never do it again." It's in that third sentence, "Forgive me," where we experience the mercy of God. And I bring up this story. So I'll have a chance to reference that in just a minute. I'm up against a break. When we come back, I'm going to circle back to the beginning of this passage, talk about where it was first explained to me. I'm going to hand on to you what I myself received. And I thought it was a pretty neat context. And I'll get to that in just 1 minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. So Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45, it's the story of the cleansing of the leper who comes to Jesus. And I'm going to share with you how this passage has changed my life. But I want to first share with you how it entered my life. And this is really kind of a neat thing. So when I experienced my awakening of faith in the summer of 1983, my life really changed in just very dramatic ways. And one of the things that happened in my awakening of faith is that I felt this tremendous sense of call to go to Mass more and really seek the Lord in the Eucharist. And so it was in the summer of 1984. So just before I was entering the seminary, I went to the 9 o'clock Mass at St. Malachy's Catholic Church in Burlington, Massachusetts. That's where I grew up. And there was a priest that was visiting, and this visiting priest, little did I know, was known around the world for his preaching and ministering in the Catholic charismatic renewal. He was from England, and lo and behold, he was visiting a family member that was in Burlington. And he, since he was in town, he connected to the parish and got permission and ended up saying Mass that particular day. And at the end of Mass, he ended up anointing us with oil, which was, again, I remember just, he prayed for us. He prayed over us and anointed us with oil, anybody who wanted to. But that day, at that Mass, this was the gospel, Mark 1, 40 to 45. And there were several aspects of this gospel that he shared I'd never heard before, but they landed in my heart. I had an encounter with the living Lord, and it disrupted my life, and it led to transformation in. It's why I want to share it with you. It's why I'm so excited to share this passage with you. And I'll highlight the key things when they show up, but they're really towards the end, the things that really struck me. One cool thing that happened was about 20 years later, we were at some national conference together, and we literally like got onto an elevator together, or the elevator door opened up and he walked in, or I walked in and I saw him and I told him the story. He didn't remember, of course, but it was so neat for me to be able to tell him like 20 years later, hey, God used you to just change my life. God used you to speak a word that just struck my heart and landed there. And I've been able to bring out the insight and insights that you shared from the Word of God on that day. I've been able to share it with so many others. And so thank you for that. So that I just really, it was so powerful. Okay. So that's part of how this happens. So I want to hand on to you what I myself received so that you can hand it on to others as well. So here we go. So in this passage, at the end of chapter one in Mark, it says a leper approached Jesus and kneeling down begged him. And so this, first of all, is a striking thing because a leper is someone who would have had to remain distant, right? So they wouldn't have been able to simply approach people because they're unclean. And right, the idea was that they're catchy, right? And so you don't want to catch what they have and they're unclean in a religious standpoint. And yet this leper approaches Jesus. He takes the initiative to approach Jesus, which is pretty striking, right? And I think that that's something that I want you to hold on to in your own life of faith. Do you take the initiative to come to Jesus, to approach him. And here's the thing. What's this man's name? We don't know. We only know that he is identified. The thing that is at the core of his identity is the fact of his point of unhideable shame. The unhideable shame, the point where he is considered cursed by God, the reality of him being cut off and unclean is how he's named, leper. That's how he was, that's how he would have been seen by others. So that has become his identity. And so that can't you see how that can happen? Or can't you relate to how that actually does happen in our lives of faith, where a sin can become so, it can worm its way in, root its way into our lives, and it can become the point of identity, that place where we end up saying where we identify is at that place of our the place of our sin. And so he comes to Jesus, he approaches him, and kneeling down, begs him. Do you see the position that he took up? When I share with you the idea that one of the fundamental moments in our life of faith is that moment of spiritual poverty, of incapacity, of being powerless, this is an example of it right here. He approaches Jesus and he is powerless. He's got nothing. And so he approaches Jesus as a beggar. He's a beggar. St. Augustine, and it's quoted in the Catechism, at that beginning of the fourth main part, the fourth pillar, the fourth main part of the Catechism is on prayer. And in the opening section, it's prayer is a gift, is the headline, is the head of that section. Prayer is a gift. It's all gift. God is always the one who is reaching out to us first. And the quote from Augustine at the end of that paragraph is, man is a beggar before God. There you go. That's you. Who's the leper? I'm the leper. You're the leper. Begging him and says, if you will to do so, if you wish, if you want, if you will to do so, you can make me clean. And so in his powerlessness, in his position of begging, in his humbling himself before the Lord, he is presenting his situation. And he says, I know you. I know what you have the power to do. I know that you can address my circumstance. And if you will to do, you can make me clean. and making him clean is a shocking thing, because it's going to not just deal with a disease, it'll deal with an entire condition and an identity. It'll deal with his condition of being considered unclean, considered cursed by God, and therefore unable to enter community, unable to be part of his family, unable to be part of the temple. All of these things are addressed if he can have this leprosy addressed. And Jesus, this is moved with pity, and that's three words in English. In Greek, it's one word. This is one of the insights that this priest told me, he shared. It's one word. And it's moved with pity, is it's moved from the inner guts, moved from the innards, like the deepest center, the bowels, the moved from the deepest place, from within Jesus. He says to him, move from that deepest place. What does he do? Jesus stretches out his hand. He touches the leper. And he says to him, I do, will it be made clean? I want you to just stop and think about this, that what does Jesus do? He touches the untouchable. He touches the one who is untouchable at the point of his unhideable shame, at the place where he is cursed. He touches him and he expresses what he really wills. He wills that he would be made clean. And the leprosy left him immediately and he was made clean. Now I'm up against a break. When we come back, I want to dig into this further, because there's so much more to this story. But there's so much more of this story for your life as well. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's so good to be with you today. So reflecting on Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45, I just got to this point where Jesus reaches out and touches this man at the point where he is untouchable, at the point of his unhideable shame. And he says, be made clean. And it says the leprosy left him immediately. And that's a theme in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus, when he does something, a sign or a wonder, a deed of power, a miracle, a casting out of a demon, there is an immediate impact. It doesn't like happen slowly over time. There's some kind of process. No, it's boom. It's immediate. And he's made clean. And then there's something mysterious here. Warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. And he said to him, see that you tell no one anything. And this is in the Gospel of Mark, this is called the Messianic Secret, where Jesus has people not reveal, who have received a miracle, don't go spread the word, because it'll be misunderstood. The understanding that people have of the Messiah is of a political conqueror who's going to overthrow the Romans, and that's what the Messiah is going to mean. So don't go tell people. It's not why I did it. I didn't tell you this so that my fame would spread, that the word would get out. No, I did this because I see you, I know you, and I'm here because I love you. And he says, tell no one anything, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed, and that will be proof for them. And that's what someone would do who was cleansed of leprosy. If their leprosy was healed, if that disease disappeared, then they would be able to go back and the priest would announce them, would be able to identify them as no longer unclean, and therefore they could participate in the life of the community, in their home and family, as well as in the temple again. And so the man went away and began, what did he end up doing? He ends up going away and publicizes the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. Okay, so the man goes off and he tells everybody, and it says, as a result of this, it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. Now, that detail is something that this priest pointed out back in 1984 in the summer. He pointed out the fact that lepers at the time of Jesus, because they were considered unclean, and their condition was known to be able to be spread, right? It was able to be caught by touch, that they were no longer able to be in their home. Like if they sat on a chair in their home, that chair was unclean. If they touched somebody, that person became unclean. So they had to be removed from their family when they were identified as a leper, but they couldn't walk around in town for the same reason. And they couldn't go to the temple. So they were cut off from family, cut off from the community, and cut off from the temple. And so they had to live outside the town. And then, how would they eat? How would they survive? Well, at certain times and places, they would come into town in order to get food that would be left for them by compassionate people in the community. Family members and others will leave food for you here so you don't starve. But when they walked into town, they would have to carry a stick with bells on it and shake it and cry out, unclean, unclean, to announce to people that a leper was coming in, and they could scatter, and then they would come and get the food, and they'd go back outside, out the town. And this priest pointed out something that just, again, it planted in my heart. I've shared it so many times, and I share it with you now. Listen again to what happens to Jesus when the man went out and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that, listen, it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in desert places. Who does that? Who cannot enter a town openly, but has to remain outside in deserted places? Lepers. So when Jesus touches the leper and heals the leper, reconciles the leper to his family, the community, and to God, he does so by there's an exchange that happens. And the exchange is that he moves into the leper's life, his status as a son of God, a child of God. And he draws out of the leper the status of that man's leprosy, of his shame, of his condition, of his curse. Jesus draws it all into himself, and he gives to that man his condition. That's what happens. And then Jesus becomes the leper. And so he couldn't enter the town openly. He remained in desert places. And he's not saying it, oh, physically Jesus became leprous. No, it's spiritually. Right? He's bringing up this spiritual part. And the last point that I love to bring out about this passage is that Jesus is still operating today. That Jesus is still at work today. He's still ready to, I do will it, be made clean. He wants to remove our places of shame, our places of curse, our places that cut us off from our families, our community, and from God himself. Where does that happen? Well, this scripture in the Middle Ages was used as a scripture that pointed to confession. What are you talking about? Well, what does Jesus say? Don't tell anybody, but instead go show yourself to the priest. Go show yourself to the priest. In confession, what are we doing? We're showing our sins to the priest. Who's at work in the priest? It's Jesus. It's the Mark 1:40 to 45 Jesus who's at work in the priest. It's Mark 1:40 45 Jesus who's saying, I do will it be made whole. Let me take out from you all those places of shame, all that place of curse. I'm going to give you my condition and I'm going to take on your condition. That's what happens in confession. That's what happens in confession. That's why I love this passage. This passage has changed my life. I hope Mark 1:40 to 45 will change your life as well. It's a word of God. It's a word of life. It's a word that can change your life. I hope and pray that in these days that you will also consider the Blessed Mother, her as an example, as a model for us to follow, to allow the word of God to be open to say, let it be done to me according to your word. Jesus, speak your word into my life. Speak your word into my heart so that I would too bring to birth your word in the world. All right, I'm out of time. God bless your day. Have a great day. Join me tomorrow for more of the program.